In this week's episode of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves yet again trudging through the swamp of America's judicial landscape, where logic and reason have taken a permanent vacation. The Supreme Court justices, those robed demigods who decide our fates like they're picking numbers out of a hat, are now playing referee in the never-ending saga of Trump versus reality. And guess what? The refs are on Trump's side. Justice Neil Gorsuch, channeling his inner authoritarian, has issued a stern warning to lower court judges. Defy us at your peril. It's like he's saying, we may not make sense, but you'd better follow along. Joined by Justice Brett Kavanaugh, they've turned the narrative upside down. Suddenly, it's not Trump who's bending legal norms with his executive orders and vendetta against judges. It's those pesky lower courts daring to question the almighty Supreme Court's whims. The conservative wing of the court is having a field day siding with Trump on emergency cases that seem to pop up faster than you can say judicial overreach. Immigration? Check. Spending? Check. Leadership of independent agencies? Triple check. It's as if there's a checklist hidden somewhere in the chambers. Trump must win. Meanwhile, liberal justices like Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sonia Sotomayor are left shaking their heads in disbelief at what they aptly call Calvin Ball jurisprudence, where rules are made up on the fly and logic is an optional extra. Even when Trump's administration flouts lower court rulings with all the subtlety of a bull in a china shop, there seems to be no consequence from above. Critics rightly point out that rewarding such lawlessness erodes respect for both courts and law itself, but hey, why bother with respect when you can have chaos? And let's not forget Justice Kavanaugh's recent sermon about how judges aren't policymakers. A real knee slapper considering how much policymaking seems to be happening from their bench these days. While some justices suggest more clarity might help everyone understand what decisions actually mean, what a concept. Others continue issuing cryptic emergency orders that leave everyone guessing. So here we are, watching as our highest court transforms into something resembling less an institution of justice, and more an elaborate game show where winners are predetermined, and losers get told off for not following invisible rules. It would almost be funny if it weren't so bleakly absurd. A fitting reflection perhaps of where we find ourselves in 2025 America. Stuck between disbelief and resignation as reality becomes stranger than fiction every single day.
In today's segment of First World Problems, let's talk about the latest saga in the world of professional wrestling and MMA, a tale so absurd it could only happen in a place where we have the luxury to care about such things. Former UFC champion Quentin Rampage Jackson finds himself issuing a public apology after his son, Raja Jackson, decided that scripted wrestling just wasn't hardcore enough for him. Now, picture this. You're at a wrestling event in Sun Valley, California. Because why not spend your Saturday night watching grown men pretend to fight each other? Suddenly, Raja slides into the ring like it's home base at a baseball game and starts laying into Psycho Stew as if he's auditioning for the next Rocky movie. It's all caught on video and streamed live on Kick. Because if you're going to commit an act of violence, you might as well do it with an audience. Rampage. Jackson is quick to let everyone know he doesn't condone his son's actions. Apparently, Raja was fresh out of sparring with a concussion. Because when you're concussed, what better way to recover than by engaging in unplanned physical combat? The organizers at Knock X Pro Wrestling Academy are equally appalled. They say this was supposed to be part of a work, a staged act, and not an opportunity for Raja to channel his inner Mike Tyson. In 17 years of operation, they claim nothing like this has ever happened before. Which is code for, we usually keep our fake fights from becoming real ones. And if you thought this couldn't get any more ridiculous, there's another video floating around showing Smith hitting Raja with a can outside the venue before all hell broke loose inside. So maybe this was less about professional rivalry and more about who got the last beer. So here we are, debating whether or not scripted violence should stay scripted while actual concerns like climate change and global pandemics take a backseat. But hey, these are first world problems, the kind that make us grateful. Our biggest issue is deciding whether or not it's okay to punch someone when they're down, in front of thousands of viewers online. Next time you hear someone complain about their Wi-Fi being slow or their oat milk latte having too much foam, remember, somewhere out there is a father apologizing for his son turning WWE into Fight Club during what was supposed to be just another evening's entertainment in America.
Ah, the screwworm. A charming little beast that's decided to make a pit stop in Maryland after hitching a ride from El Salvador. Nothing says welcome to America quite like an invasive, flesh-eating parasite setting up shop in your neighborhood. But fear not, dear citizens. The risk to public health is said to be very low, which is exactly what you want to hear when dealing with creatures that turn living tissue into Swiss cheese. This particular outbreak has been munching its way through Central America, leaving a trail of infested animals and anxious farmers in its wake. It's almost poetic how these larvae nestle into wounds, slowly devouring their host alive, nature's own version of slow-cooked carnage. And while this might sound like the plot of a B-grade horror movie, rest assured, it's just another day in our increasingly dystopian reality. In response, our ever-vigilant USDA plans to unleash an army of sterile flies from the skies over Texas. Because nothing screams cutting-edge technology like aerial bombardments of impotent insects. These sterilized Casanovas will woo wild females into fruitless unions, thereby halting the screwworm's romantic escapades before they can begin. It's a plan so simple it might actually work, or at least provide some entertainment as we watch fly populations engage in their doomed mating rituals. Meanwhile, $100 million will be funneled into new technologies and surveillance measures, because who wouldn't want their tax dollars funding tick riders and screwworm-sniffing dogs? Perhaps next we'll see tick-riding drones or maggot detection apps for your smartphone. The possibilities are endless when you're on the brink of ecological collapse. And let us not overlook the emergency declaration allowing more flexibility for animal drugs. Because why not improvise when dealing with maggots that can kill livestock within weeks? There may be no FDA-approved treatments yet, but improvisation is clearly the hallmark of preparedness in this brave new world. So here we are, facing down flesh-eating parasites with sterilized flies and dog patrols, a fitting metaphor for modern society, if there ever was one. As we march boldly toward whatever fresh hell awaits us next, let's take solace in knowing we've got our priorities straight. Combating pests one sterile fly at a time, while civilization teeters on the edge of absurdity.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the absurdity of human existence while snacking on olives and feta. Today, we're inspired by a CNN article titled Mediterranean Diet that suggests your destiny might just be in the hands of a salad. Hold the croutons. Imagine this. You spend your entire life fearing that your genes have pre-written your fate like some tragic Greek play, only to find out that munching on chickpeas could rewrite the script. According to a study published in Nature, following a Mediterranean diet can reduce dementia risk by at least 35% for those with two copies of the APOE4 gene, a genetic plot twist worthy of Shakespeare. Lead author Yuxi Liu and her team followed over 5,700 people for 34 years. That's right, 34 years. That's longer than most marriages last these days. They found that those who adhered to this olive oil-laden lifestyle saw their risk of dementia drop faster than an anchovy off a pizza slice. But let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves, are we really at the mercy of legumes and leafy greens? Is our cognitive future wrapped up in grape leaves, or are we simply grasping at dietary straws in an attempt to control the uncontrollable? Neurologist Dr. Richard Isaacson chimes in with optimism, suggesting that genes don't have to dictate our lives. But isn't it comforting, or perhaps terrifying, to think that our mental acuity might hinge on whether we choose quinoa over fries? And then there's Simon Nichols, a man who took lifestyle changes so seriously his hippocampus grew larger than his ego after successfully reducing amyloid plaques through diet and exercise. If only all existential crises could be solved with kale smoothies. Yet amidst these revelations lies irony. The very studies revealing our potential salvation from dementia face extinction due to funding cuts. Decades of biosamples hang in limbo because of political squabbles more absurd than any Monty Python sketch. So here we are, contemplating whether we'll remember this conversation tomorrow or if it'll slip away like hummus through fingers. Does it matter? Perhaps not. But until then, pass the tzatziki, we've got some thinking to do before dessert arrives, if we remember to order it.
In the chaotic symphony of modern finance, the Federal Reserve's potential interest rate cuts are but another verse in the capitalist fever dream, a desperate attempt to stoke an economy addicted to growth. Jerome Powell, the maestro of monetary policy, hints at a future where interest rates might soon descend, a move that sends investors into euphoric delirium as they push the Dow to dizzying heights. The absurdity lies not in the act itself, but in society's blind faith that such measures could stave off economic entropy. As savings accounts and CDs brace for impact, their yields begin a slow march toward obsolescence. The irony is palpable. Savers are punished for their prudence, while banks revel in their ability to pay less for deposits. High-yield savings accounts become sanctuaries for those seeking refuge from this fiscal erosion, a stark reminder that even financial institutions must compete ruthlessly for scraps in this profit-driven landscape. For borrowers, the narrative is equally bleak. Fixed-rate loans remain untouched by these machinations, insulating lenders from loss while leaving consumers grasping at straws. New loans dangle lower rates like carrots before desperate borrowers, yet these reductions lag behind expectations, an orchestrated delay ensuring lenders extract every ounce of profit. Credit card holders find themselves ensnared in a particularly vicious cycle. Even with promised rate cuts, relief remains elusive, as sky-high interest rates devour any potential savings. A meager reduction, scarcely dense balances, swollen by consumerism's siren call. In this theater of financial absurdity, cardholders resort to begging issuers for mercy, a pitiful negotiation where success hinges on little more than luck and creditworthiness. The housing market dances to its own discordant tune, unfazed by Fed maneuvers, as mortgage rates tether themselves instead to the whims of 10-year Treasury notes. Inflation and deficits loom large over prospective homeowners like specters from an economic underworld, ensuring that dreams of affordable mortgages remain just out of reach. This relentless pursuit of profit at all costs reveals itself as both symptom and disease within our crumbling economic edifice. Each cut promises salvation, yet delivers only temporary reprieve, a hollow gesture masking deeper systemic rot. In this fever dream, where capitalism reigns supreme, we chase after illusions of prosperity while teetering ever closer to collapse.